Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart?
Welcome to the Young at Heart Show. I'm Patty Teal. My co-host is Frank Newton, Executive Director of the RSVP program. And RSVP stands for Retired Senior Volunteer Program. Frank also writes a column called Frank Talk for Seniors, which comes out on Tuesdays in the Santa Barbara News Press. And I'm not finished yet. He's also the editor of the Successful Aging newspaper. Boy, do you have any free time, Frank?
No, and now I'm in charge of the Senior Expo, which is in October.
That's a big undertaking.
It is. It's a wonderful event. Oh, and now I have to say that my co-host is the inimitable Patty Teal. Patty has her own column in the Montecito Journal. It's titled Seniority, and she works for Senior Helpers. How's it going with Senior Helpers?
It's going great. We've just got wonderful caregivers and great clients as well. And if you don't know, what we do is help people stay in their own homes by providing them with services such as companion service, transportation, or even handyman services. And we also have free AARP memberships that we're giving away. And if you already have one, you can call us and we'll give you a form to fill out so your next year is free. And the number here in Santa Barbara is 966-7100. What about your volunteer opportunities?
Well,
Frank,
as our listeners may know, one of the things that really drives me is volunteer service. That's what RSVP is all about. And volunteer service is wonderful for people and the community. And one organization that's really looking for volunteers right now is the Food Bank of Santa Barbara. They have a program called Picnic in the Park for children during the summer. A lot of kids get food provided during the school year. But what happens to them during the summer? Well, Food Bank came up with a program for low-income kids to have activities in the park during the summer, and they get fed, and they need volunteers to help. So if you're interested in helping the Food Bank and working with children that need nutritional support, call me at RSVP 963-0474.
That sounds like a great thing to do. Thanks,
yes.
Frank. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today. I've actually been wanting to connect with her since we started our show about 9 months ago. Her name is Sheree Vandercroft. She is a somatic movements therapist and educator. She has ongoing classes for seniors in Ventura for balance and brain function improvement and has private clients in Santa Barbara. Her classes include people challenged with Parkinson's disease and dementia, and she does neuromuscular rehabilitation work with functionally challenged adults. Can't wait to talk to her and learn all about somatic movement. Welcome, Sheree.
Thank you, Patty. I'm really
Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank
well, it's
you,
great
Frank.
To have you. I guess we should start with the obvious question of what is somatic movement?
It's something that is starting to become better known in our culture. It's basically neuromuscular reeducation. The word soma comes from the Greek origin that means the body as experienced from the inward eye. So somatics, the focus is about the internal experience, the felt experience of one's movement in any kind of situation, whether it be yoga, exercise, or dance, or anything like that. And through that, it's really about self-knowledge. It's about learning from one's own experience. There are many applications for it. The one that I wanted to emphasize today is the neuromuscular reeducation and the ways that it can be helpful for seniors in different forms of movement.
Well, that's very interesting. So how do people learn to get in touch with what's really going on inside their bodies?
Well, there are many ways. I think something that most people are aware of is, which we don't necessarily do in somatics, but that idea of meditation where you close your external senses and focus on the internal experience. With somatics, that's sort of the perspective that you take, but we do it through different forms when we're moving. So one of the things that I'm getting very into right now is what I call a moving meditation. So even though your eyes are open and you're actually moving, the focus is internal on what's happening. So it's really all about where you put your attention.
I see.
Yeah.
And can it be playful?
Yes, one of the important aspects to it is curiosity and playfulness, because somatics is very much not about performing and looking good and being a star. It's about the value of your own internal experience and what you learn from that and how you heal yourself from that. So curiosity within that exploration and playfulness and sort of a sense of lightness is sort of the emotional tone of it. Yeah.
Do people ever have trouble getting past that self-conscious feeling that people are looking at them at first, probably?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody does.
Everybody does.
I did, you know, when I first started my training. But you gradually kind of shift and shift and shift until you're so involved in the beauty of what's going on inside and you realize how unimportant the external opinions are.
Now, the example that comes to my mind is Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when I go to the YMCA, they have a group out there in the front. As you walk into the YMCA, in the mornings, there's a group of older adults, and they're all doing these movements in unison. Is that what you're talking about, or is it something different?
No, it's very connected to that. I actually practice a form of Qigong, which is the precursor to Tai Chi. And it is a Taoist light Qigong, which is the most somatic form of Qigong because it's all the spontaneous movement of the energy through the body as it needs to move to clear blockages and stretch. And Tai Chi is basically sort of a retrofit where they observed what happened over and over again and then sort of codified it. And now they have these movement sequences, which I think ultimately create the same experience for the body in healing, but it's a little bit easier to get into. You don't have to trust that spontaneous trigger.
So the form you use, people figure out, their body figures out, I should say, or maybe it's not even conscious, how it wants to move, and they have that freedom to move.
Yeah, yeah. And then once you really get into that as an experience, and you just kind of forget about everything else.
Well, do you find people are afraid of this?
Yeah, I mean, at first, it depends on how motivated you are and what your interest is. That's why when, you know, I say, well, it's neuromuscular reeducation, there are many different ways to do this. If someone doesn't want to go straight into that, there's all kinds of flow sequences or patterns that you can just sort of do and know that you're, quote, doing it right, unquote, and not have to worry. Yeah. Oh,
we've been kind of educated that way, haven't we?
Well, absolutely, yeah, in the West.
Yeah. I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it's un-American.
Exactly.
Show me what to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Because we're raised with a mindset as, okay, I've got my foot hurts or my shoulder hurts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. He's going to give me a prescription. Mm-hmm. End of story.
Right. Well, there and brings up the difference between the Western medicine and the Eastern medicine that you brought up as we were talking to Sri before the show.
Yes.
Right. And with the Western model, you kind of give your power to an outside source, like a doctor. And
Yes.
Right.
Well,
so
I relied. He writes a prescription.
Right. And then you give your power to the drug and the drug companies. So this is really about taking that back and saying, well, I'm actively involved in this. What do I do? What can I do? Which sometimes doesn't even need to get to the drug point. It's really about connecting the communication between the brain and the nervous system. That's a lot of what somatics is. And then a lot of things around that, when you really get into that, it's sort of like doing archaeology and you find things that are buried there in the nervous system from a long time ago.
Oh, what an interesting way to put it.
Well, yeah, it sort of came to me this morning. I was thinking, how do I describe this?
Mm-hmm.
And then those things are released and cleared and healed. And then you've got more mobility or you've even got more emotional mobility. You know, things are frozen
on different
levels.
So there's even a psychological value.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. When I first started this, the study of this, I was amazed at the things, that the pictures that would show up in my mind and memories of things that I had completely forgotten. And they only show up because they're coming through on their way out. Otherwise,
is this related to Rolfing? The theory of Rolfing massage?
Yes, actually, I also have studied neurostructural body work, which is sort of the non-trademark form of Rolfing. And with Rolfing, they sort of do it to you, but that's what happens. They get down there into the scar tissue and into the injury, and the same kind of thing, the information, the trauma, the experience is locked into the nervous system, and through the Rolfing, it's released. And that's why people cry and have all kinds of experiences.
Interesting. Well, Shri also has non-profit that works on releasing grief and healing through this somatic movement as well?
Well, my part of it is that, it's not my non-profit.
I see.
Jesse Fowler, I think, is the president of it. It's called HEAL. It's Healing Through Energy Exercise and the Arts for Life. And I'm one of the volunteering professionals who gives workshops. And the way that I help people do that is exactly what you said, is they do the movement work. And if they focus, they can access that stuff and release it through movement.
So if somebody was grieving over who knows what, a death of a loved one, mm-hmm. you know, a severe mm-hmm. injury of a loved one, could this help them get through that grieving process earlier than if they didn't go, or perhaps wouldn't get through it at all? This could help?
Absolutely. In fact, I can say that firsthand, because coincidentally, when I started studying somatics, I had lost a lot of important people in my life to a very rapid sequence of death, and I had a lot of grief. Mm-hmm. And I started doing these even in the classes while I was learning it, and the tears were coming, and I finally said to my teacher, "Is this ever going to stop?" And she said, "Oh yeah, it'll stop," and it did. But I know that accessing that in my own body and nervous system absolutely helped it flow out so that I wasn't hanging on to it unconsciously.
That's the thing I think we do forget in the West, is the mind-body connection. I mean, we talk mm-hmm. about it a lot, but I think we treat them as separate things so often, and this integrates it.
It is starting to change, I mm-hmm. know, but for many years, doctors and psychologists were in different worlds.
Yes. Yeah.
And now they're starting to see that connection more mm-hmm. and more.
Mm-hmm. A lot. Very much so in the world of psychotherapy, which is another little paper I wrote, and that's on my website, about the connection of using somatic movement to help people finish and integrate the work of EMDR, which is a somatically based form of psychotherapy, you know, eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And having had my own experiences with it, I recognized that it wasn't quite finished mm-hmm. and it needed to fully integrate and move through the body. So, yes, absolutely, the wave of the future is the mind-body connection.
Well, Frank, we were at a hospice luncheon, or I think it was the ASC luncheon, which is a group that meets monthly with people that are in the business of helping or working with seniors. And they did a presentation on the EMDR and how they use it with hospice. So that was pretty
fabulous.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, EMDR. Some people used a little machine with it, mm-hmm. and then others just did it with the eye movement just mm-hmm. on their own. Mm-hmm. So can you tell people where they can read the article that you referred to, your website?
Oh, yes. My website, I'm going to have to do a little work on my website because I realize I haven't made it as accessible as I should. So if you can spell dynamicsomatics.com.
I think we can.
Yeah. Then you can get directly to my website and just click on the articles page. And I have three articles on there that are sort of papers that I did.
Yeah, because you're trained. I have a page in front of me, and she's trained in so many modalities. You're just amazing that you've done all this. Where did you receive most of your training, or has it been many different places?
I think different places. The somatics was through East West Somatics, which is a school. She was based for many years in Brockport, New York, SUNY State University, Brockport. She was the chairman of the dance department there, and then she retired and moved back to her hometown in Utah. I've taken the Healing Touch through Cottage Hospital and Therapeutic Touch through Sharon Gardner here mm-hmm. in town, and Reiki back in Connecticut and also here in Santa Barbara, the different levels. The massage was Santa Barbara School of Massage.
A lot
neurostructural, yeah, that was down at in Ventura, that's what's now called the Kali Institute. So
just you're a wealth of knowledge of all these different modalities.
Well, you've gone to the Far East as well.
Yes, I have. My interest in that is because my father was Dutch Indonesian. That's hence my name, Sri. It's so beautiful the way these things work. Pacifica has a program in somatic psychology. They know a man from Indonesia named Suprapto Suridama, who has
a tongue twister.
Yes. And he has a school called the Amerta School, and it's somatic movement. They invited him here to do a workshop through Pacifica. I took the workshop and fell in love. Now, this is postgraduate with his approach, which is very interestingly right-brained and sort of more of the yin. My training was actually more Western, so mm-hmm. it's nice to have both.
It is nice to have both.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Young at Heart Radio Show on KTMS 990. I'm Patty Teal. My co-host is Frank Newton. Today's guest is Sri Vandercroft, somatic movement therapist and educator.
You touched on something big, actually. Yin and yang. Most of the things you've been talking about are more female.
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question because the overall gestalt of somatics is more yin, or what you might call feminine. But within it, my studies through East-West were actually more Western. And now, having gone through that whole study, I have found a man in the East, even though he's a man, my teacher here was a woman, my teacher there is a man, who has a very yin approach. And so now I'm actually discovering that there are more dimensions within the whole somatics program that can even balance it. But yes, this is about feeling, felt, experience.
many men don't like to go there.
Yeah.
That's sort of a generality, but yeah. most men don't deal with those things, feelings, and we don't feel comfortable with it. And a lot of women seem much more comfortable going in that direction.
Sure.
So what do I do? I mean, I feel left out. I feel this is alien to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But I think a lot of American men feel that way.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, for you, we have a special program.
Where's the paddle? Oh, well,
I knew this was coming.
Electric shock therapy. Yes.
No, it's not
just
that
kidding.
Bad. No, if I have a client who is of that mindset, it's very simple. That's actually why I did all of the additional research in neuroplasticity, because I wanted to have a scientific explanation for what was going on. And so when I work with them, they don't have to dance around a classroom. They can lie on a table, and I can actually do a lot of the work with them just simply receiving on the table. That would be the body work aspect
Frank,
of
somatics. You could lie on a table, couldn't you? You could do that.
Even that, I told you, my daughter thinks I'm a tough case.
But after you did it once, and you could tell the difference, and you felt better, would sell you on.
As an example, my wife took me to a yoga class, and all the women in the class were very limber. I called them pretzel ladies. And it was me, there was an older man and me, and we couldn't do, you know, have your knees touch this and bend down. We couldn't even touch our toes. And a lot of men are like that, and the women are twisting and turning and taking body shapes that I'm thinking, my body can't do that. So I think a lot of men are in that mode where they're not comfortable doing that.
But you know what? If you were in a smaller class with a teacher who could help you, she would have been able to adapt everything for you, for your body. They would have had bolsters, and they would have said, here's your alternate stretch. Don't try to do that. Do this. Because you can get hurt if you try to do what other people are doing in your body's not there.
Yeah. Actually, my very good friend of many years, it was one of those male bodies who, and he couldn't run across the street without pulling a muscle in his back. And finally, one day, he got talked into taking an Iyengar yoga class, and he is absolutely hooked. And he said, I'm doing things at the age of 67 that I couldn't do 20 years ago.
Wow.
Because he had, it's a male teacher, but he had a teacher leading him through it, customizing the work, and all of that. But somatics isn't about forcing your body into anything. It's about always receiving. If you're on the table, you receive in a passive state. So I pick up your arm and you don't help me at all, and I do the work through that, because when the body is in a completely receptive state, that's when the communication can be cleared and sort of reset between the brain and the nervous system.
So what does this do for you? What things can be improved upon by doing these kinds of
good question.
Exercises?
Like a session like you're talking about. Yeah, what would you call that session?
Well, we would call it a somatic clearing.
Okay.
And what I have done, because I do a lot of body work for a living, is I actually have integrated some of the major sort of clearing modalities, or not modalities, the major clearing little pieces into my massage work. So when I get to somebody's shoulder, I do the regular massage, but then I go in and I do the very simple clearing for the brain nervous system in the joint of the shoulder as well. And it flows beautifully together. So what happens is, if somebody has a trauma through injury or surgery, their body goes into armoring, and it kind of freezes up in an attempt to protect itself from that ever happening again. And so, you know, nice primitive logic of the body, that makes sense. But you end up with a limitation in your movement. So the body has to feel completely safe in order to go, oh, okay, I can let go. Okay, I can open that movement again, because some of that limitation is not mechanical. It's a communication issue. The body is telling the brain it's not safe to do that. So if you go into and do a somatic clearing, you're very gently in a completely passive state. The recipient is completely passive, opening the movement back up again and coaxing it into a remembering of what I like to call, it's silly, but I call them factory settings.
That's cute.
Right? Remembering what it used to be like before the trauma. And then with a little bit of work continuing doing that, you get your original mobility back.
Oh, wouldn't you love to go to a session like that? I want to.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound wonderful.
It does sound very appealing.
It sounds very appealing. How much would you charge for a session like that?
You know, I usually charge $75 for roughly an hour, and that is, can either combine the massage with it or just do the clearing. The clearing probably wouldn't even take that long. So mm-hmm. probably between $60 and $75 if I were just to do a clearing, depending on how involved.
But you could get a massage
be.
At the same time. It
Absolutely.
Would feel wonderful.
Yeah. I have, and it's fun because, you know, I have some massage clients that I've had for 12, 13 years mm-hmm. that we've met every week, and they have seen me go through this additional training, and they've seen the difference that it's created in the work and the difference in their own ability to move. And so I have a lot of, you know, people out there.
And it actually can improve the brain's abilities with a neuroplasticity kind of connection. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a whole other subtopic. But
yes,
through all of the relatively recent books that have come out about neuroplasticity and the studies they found about the brain, the brain is very plastic, and you can actually reassign parts of the brain to do jobs that, say, if you had part A that was in charge of moving your left hand, and you had a stroke and that part of the brain wasn't functioning anymore, well, with proper training, you could get another part of the brain to take over that job and
That's
do
so
it.
That's so fascinating and so amazing. And they used to think that after 6 months, especially if you'd
That's
had
right.
any kind of brain damage, there wasn't going to be any more improvement.
Yeah, right. It was considered hopeless.
Right, but they don't think that way anymore.
No.
So it's very interesting. They know that other parts of the brain can take over. So this type of therapy helps with that.
Yes. Well, it's connected to it. Like with a clearing, you're clearing the neural pathways. But as far as my classes go, I have movement protocols for people so that they can, in fact, universally use their brain and expand the amount of, you know, what they call cortical real estate, so that you're not just using one area, you're using all areas. And there's some simple ways that people can do everyday movement, which I could share with you, that would help your brain universally get more functional.
Well, I'm just going to have to experience this for myself. It sounds so wonderful. I wish we had more time. We could talk forever, couldn't we, Frank?
Yes, we could. Well, now one issue would be brain damage,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
maybe from a trauma. But there's also the issue of dementia. Can you do anything for dementia?
I work weekly with a group of people down in Ventura who have pretty severe dementia. It all depends, of course, on what's causing the dementia, if it's, you know, neurochemical and things like that. There are movement sequences you can do that will increase dopamine. So if it's a dopamine-related problem, you can get more dopamine in the system.
Isn't that into Parkinson's?
Yes, Parkinson's, exactly. And so that helps with Parkinson's
okay.
a lot. What I do when I work with the dementia people, the ones that seem pretty far gone, I find the places where they wake up, where they recognize something, and then I kind of go with that. Because there are still parts of their brain that have movement memory, you know, if we do a certain thing, and they're reminded of tap dancing or
right.
something like that, and we kind of work the angles that work.
Because very often the old memories are intact.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the music, of course, triggers that, so I try to find the music.
Yeah. Well, Sri, you have been a fascinating guest. I hope maybe you'll come back again one day.
I'd love to.
That would be wonderful.
Well, it would be good for you to repeat how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, sure, yes. I'd like to be having some more classes up in Santa Barbara, and my website is dynamicsomatics.com, D-Y-N, right, D-A-M.
I see.
I see, somatics, somatics.com, and I have a phone number on there, and also you can email me from there. I would love to be.
Well, thank you so much, Sri.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Stay tuned, Scam Squad is up next. Senior Deputy District Attorney Vicki Johnson will warn us about scams targeting seniors in our area. You're listening to the Young at Heart Show on KTMS 990.
Learn to recognize the scams.
Learn to recognize the scams.
And the crooks won't stand a chance.
And the crooks won't stand a chance.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Scam Squad.
Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. So nice to be back. I'm going to talk today about a very difficult subject, but something that must be brought to light. Experts say that between 60 to 90% of financial abuse perpetrated against seniors is committed by relatives or caretakers.
So you're saying that it's relatives that are ripping off their own parents and grandparents?
Every day. It's a sad and tragic story. We see these cases over and over, and it's getting worse as baby boomers age.
Well, what would be a typical scenario?
A crook will guilt their parent into giving them power of attorney, then use it to take everything the parent owns. These relatives have an outrageous sense of entitlement. They think, well, Mom's going to give me the money anyway when she dies, so I'll just take it now. Or sometimes they think, I work so hard and no one appreciates me, so I deserve the money.
Now, is this especially prevalent when there's one child who's doing most of the caretaking?
Yes, a caretaker can become overwhelmed taking care of an aging parent, and they want something for their efforts in caring for Mom and Dad, and they talk themselves into thinking it's okay to take their money. But one really hideous MO is to cut corners on Mom and Dad's health care, because decent care will reduce the crook's inheritance. Or the relative might steal and forge checks and spend the proceeds on themselves because they are in the home and have access to the checking accounts.
Gosh, how can someone protect themselves from their own family member?
Well, you have to pay attention. Don't let a family member nag you into letting them sign on your accounts or into giving them power of attorney. And if you have any misgivings about whether or not you can trust this family member, it's much better to let someone you trust outside of the family handle your affairs if you feel you're reaching that stage where you need help. And if you don't have anyone like that in your life, you can hire a licensed public fiduciary at very little cost. And I'd like to give a word of warning to other responsible family members. You need to be vigilant and don't let anyone prevent you from seeing or talking to your seniors. This is especially true if you have a sibling who's selfish or who has substance abuse, gambling, or financial problems.
Is this something that should be discussed with all the members of the family before the problem really arises?
Absolutely. It's a good idea to have a family meeting with family members and the senior so everyone can decide who will take care of the elder as they age, what that person will be paid, if anything, who will run the finances, and how often they need to provide an accounting, and put that agreement in writing. And family members need to check in with their elders to see that they are getting the care that they need. So don't be afraid to ask the elder and the caretaker, even if it's a relative, about where Mom's money is going and why.
Well, what should someone do if they suspect that a senior is getting scammed?
If you suspect foul play, call Adult Protective Services and the police. And please remember, a responsible family member may be the only person standing between your elder and financial ruin.
Thanks for the great information, Vicki. It's sad to think about, but it is a scenario that goes on every single day, so it's something that we have to face.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Vicki.
You're welcome.
A big thank you to Sheree Vandercroft and District Attorney Vicki Johnson and all our listeners. I hope you enjoyed our show today. Be sure to tune in next week. The Young at Heart show airs both Saturday and Sunday evenings at 5:30 p.m. on KTMS 990. You can replay this show or listen to past episodes on our blog site at youngatheartradio.com. Well, Frank, I'll see you next week.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Have a great one.
Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart?